Have a tree question and you're stumped? We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
And the line is open, Jennifer, standing by to take your question as we talk through holiday light preparation and what to and not to do for stringing lights in trees.
Well, we see a lot of holiday lights that are just pretty cool. I mean, a lot of people go to a lot of expense to get lights up all over their houses and yards this time of year. And one of the things we don't like to see is them over-trimming their trees in order to be able to wrap their lights more easily. And it's really nice to have them a little higher in the tree. And it's really popular for people to take strings of lights and wrap the branches. And the higher you go, the more impressive it looks and the more of the architecture of the tree you can see. But I would encourage you to wrap around and past some of the small side branches, the little smaller growth that's inside, rather than strip it all out. You can simply wrap the branches in between those smaller branches as you go higher in the tree. But just avoid that lion tailing. Of course, lion tailing is the unacceptable practice of removing an excessive number of those smaller inner branches in the center of the tree, in the lower canopy of the tree. And we try to discourage that. So avoid that. Also, try not to use nails and staples, you know, because you're damaging the cambium of the tree when you put those in. A lot of people permanently install lights in trees, and then the tree will actually, as it grows every year, it puts on some new wood. And as that branch grows in diameter, it will swallow up your staples and your eye screws and other bits of hardware that you put in the trees. So we recommend using a simple plastic green landscape tape. They actually sell it in other colors than green. And you can wrap your branches with that. And it's expandable, and it holds the lights close to the tree, but yet it's not going to damage the wood. And what else is there with holiday lights? We recommend doing a little bit of pruning before you put them in. If you're going to be installing them, you know, in October, November, be thinking about pruning them ahead of time. Then the trees are a little lighter anyway. We can do some nice pruning for you. And if you let us know you're doing some Christmas light or holiday light installation, we will prune with that in mind and do some nice pruning to make it easier for you to access those lower branches. And
there are handymen that will string the lights for you. Do y'all do any Christmas tree lighting or just the trimming?
No, just the pruning ahead of time. We've thought about that as a kind of a winter add-on service, but no, we haven't done. I know a lot of tree services in other parts of the country that are under snow and ice. And
there's nothing to do to the
tree. There's not a lot to do. Sure, it's another revenue source, just like some tree services do a lot of snow removal as well in the east and northwest.
Makes sense.
Yep.
So there you go. Be safe. Ladder fall-offs are the number one cause of homeowner check-ins at emergency rooms in the country. So be careful on your ladders. Be careful while you're out there moving around.
Great reminder. Yeah. Funny to say, I've climbed up to a top of a 400-foot redwood. I've climbed a lot of tall trees here in Phoenix over the years in my career as an arborist. And my worst injury was falling off a 6-foot stepladder. This ladder went left, and I went right, fell right onto my hip on a huge river rock, and sat there for 20 minutes, thought I had fractured my pelvis. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to walk, but I was lucky I didn't get hurt, but it was a serious fall. So yeah, do be careful on ladders. They go one way, and you go the other way, and you're on the ground before you know it.
Make sure if it's an A-frame, when you open it, you've got the brace bars down and locked, and when you put it on the ground, you don't want any wobbling. All 4 feet need to be
solid
on the ground.
On the ground. And it's also good, you know, on the taller step ladders too. Even if you're at the lower steps that, you know, where you're allowed to stand, it's good to have somebody at the bottom stabilizing and holding the ladder for you. We have spotters on our larger ladders. We always require a spotter on the bottom to be holding that ladder and keeping it steady while somebody's aloft.
And if somebody did fall, does the spotter have to catch them, or are they allowed to run and
get out
avoid getting squashed?
No, that's a good point, because their responsibility is to stabilize the ladder. You know, hopefully they're not going to be, that climber's not going to be taking a spill. Jennifer mentioned earlier a little clarification with regard to evergreen trees. there are two types of trees. We divide them up into deciduous and evergreen. Deciduous trees are the trees that lose their leaves in the winter, and that includes our pecans, elms, ash, mulberries, china berries, pistache, jacarandas, pomegranates, fig trees. Any tree that loses its leaves is a deciduous tree. Those that don't lose their leaves in the winter, we consider evergreens. I know evergreens, many people think immediately of conifers. Think of pine trees, fir trees, and the like. And those are evergreen trees as well, but they're not the only evergreens. All of our other trees that hold their leaves during the winter are technically considered evergreens. So when I refer to evergreens, think of any tree that keeps its leaves through the winter months.
Let's go to Brad in Peoria. We talked last time John was in about the nightmare tree sisu, because he was in on Halloween, and Brad happens to have one of those nightmare sisu trees. Go ahead, Brad.
I do have a nightmare tree, or I did have, and I cut it. I had actually three of them. Our homeowners in our area have planted all these all over our neighborhood, and mine was growing like crazy. We have small yards, and I was seeing that it was starting to destroy some of my paving and some of my paving around the yard, and I thought, I got to get rid of this thing. So I had all three of them cut down. I did not have the tree, roots treated. And I did have it bored out, but I don't believe they did a good enough job doing that. And I have, all summer, I've had these things jumping up out of the yard, and it seems like they've gotten worse now that I've cut the trees down. How do we get rid of those little sprouts that are coming up through the yard and throughout the surrounding area of the trees?
Well, it's a long process because you've already ground out the stump. Typically, what we'll do is we'll cut the tree off at about 18 inches above grade, drill into the stump, and treat the stump with a contact herbicide, which is a systemic, which is absorbed into the root system of the tree, and it will kill the stump entirely. If you've gone in and ground out the stump with a stump grinder, and there's still any root material left in the ground, as soon as the tree has been cut down, it stimulates the roots through some hormones that send a signal to the tree to survive. And then all the root material that's still in the ground will send up sprouts to the surface to basically keep the tree alive. And it's a shame because once the stump itself, the root ball, has been removed, there's really no place to go back in and do that treatment. What we have encouraged people to do is dig down where that stump was removed, take out any soil that was backfilled into the hole, and look for any large roots that were, once the root ball itself was destroyed, there's roots that radiated out from that main root ball, which may still be in the soil, and they might be pretty large in diameter. But try to find wherever the largest root surfaces you can find. You might need to recut them, or just you can drill into those and put a contact herbicide. I'd call a qualified pest control applicator. There are tree services that provide the service as well as your typical pest control companies. And then you need to put in a very good full strength herbicide, which will be absorbed into the tree. Your point being is you're trying to get to all those the best avenue to get to all of those sprouts. Well, those sprouts are all attached to larger roots, and they all terminate where that stump was removed. So if you can dig down, try to find some of those and treat those, you might have some success. If you don't, you're going to have to go to where the sprouts are coming up and try to treat them. Dig down. You might have to do some soil removal.
Or get a permit for napalm application.
Well, this is just it. You might have to do some serious soil removal and replacement. I'm sorry to say, but there are some homeowners that we've discussed this with are considering actually destroying their landscape, digging down 12, 18 inches, and removing all the root material in their yards where the roots have grown, and simply replacing it. It's a bit very expensive and time-consuming process. But the reason I suggest it is because of the low chance of success by spot treating those little sprouts that come up. They're so numerous, and they're attached to larger roots, that by simply spraying them topically whenever they come up. It's a long process. You might continue to try that for a year or so before you go to the extreme of having to replace soil, but you have to basically dig up the landscape to try to pull all that root material out, and any vestiges of roots that are still left in the soil have the potential to send up more roots.
Suggested this to some of your clients. Have you ever done that?
No, we've just been in discussion with a customer of ours in Chandler who experienced the same thing. We had their HOA planted these all over the yard, and these are HOA trees that were removed whose roots had grown into our neighbor's yard, and they have a conflict now with the homeowners association for basically destroying their yard. Now their yard has a forest of small trees growing up through the lawn, through the hardscape, through the DG, through the underneath the hardscape, and it's essentially destroyed a previously beautiful landscape. And the thing is they didn't know they had all this root encroachment in their yard until the trees were removed.
Oh, so the roots were
Under their fence and in their yard, but they didn't realize they were there until the trees were removed, and then it stimulated this growth.
So you have to get a permit on where you dump this soil so it doesn't – or do you have to solarize the soil, or do you have to take back to the native Asian region of where sisus come from?
This is why landfills are called landfills. They take all that debris. Yeah, it's a really difficult challenge, but you know, my best of luck to those of you who are facing this challenge.
We appreciate the call, Brad. Sorry, there really wasn't a more encouraging answer. We do like to give encouraging answers. So what can we do to help Brad out here, feeling a little better about his sisu problem? That, you know, it's just money. It's just landscape. We can replant. We can regrow.
Yeah, you know, there are some success stories of people spot spraying their yards and having some success. But it's a year or two of vigilance to be able to get some control.
If you're in Peoria and you have a troubled teen, Brad could have a lot of work for him. You give him a little tiny paintbrush with your little can of treatment. Just have him sit out there all day long, spot treating. It's Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to talk trees.